Hello, and good evening, everyone. My name is John Quercy, and tonight my co-host is Robin Paris, and we're filling in for Alan Steinfeld on the New Reality Show. I'm a medical physician, an energy intuitive healer, with a special interest in relationships, and Robin Paris, my co-host, is a metaphysical life coach and healer. We have our own show that's coming up in March, and the Time Warner Public Television in Manhattan, we're from Manhattan, New York, called From Fear to Love. And it's one major choice and a bunch of little baby steps. I'm going to introduce the topic, and then I'm going to ask Robin to comment on it. And if we get questions in between, we'll take them. And we'll go through some of the little baby steps and some of the ideas that we have to keep in mind when we face this very important decision we all come up with in life to have a better life. First of all, the biggest, most important choice we ever have to make in life, and the hardest choice, is do we want to embrace a life of fear or a life of love? And it sounds simple at first, except it requires change. Because in growing up, we've been taught, we've been domesticated by our loved ones, our parents, our teachers, the government, to fear. Be careful of strangers. Don't take things from strangers. Little girls are taught to be aware of boys, and vice versa. So we learned to fear. When we came into the world, we had no fear. And we start to develop into someone who puts protective coatings upon ourselves to protect us. And because of that, we have difficulty making the decision whether we really want to reach out and change. But then the question arrives for many of us, especially in an affluent city like New York City, where so many people are beautiful and successful and have so many wonderful things going for them. But do they really have that intimate relationship, the most important relationship they'll ever have in their life? And that is, starts out with the relationship they have with themselves. And do they really love themselves? And are they capable of sharing that love with the people and the community around them? And there's different types of relationships we have. We have relationships with ourselves, with our loved ones, with the people we work with. And the most important relationship, other than the one with ourselves, is the one we have with the total stranger that walks into our life that we become connected with. And we want to reach out, but we become fearful. We're fearful because we're glued to our past, glued to the past experiences, and we live in the past, and we react to these past experiences of possible rejection, of possible failure, and stops us from living in the present and just enjoying the moment. And we become very controlling, and we base everything on outcomes. And we have these expectations of the future. Well, where is this going? Well, it's not important where is it going. We don't know if it's even going to go, and it's not important where it goes. What's important is, in the moment, in the now, are we living our real life? Can we be loving? Can we be sharing? Can we be open? Can we be vulnerable? Can we be intimate? And can we just concentrate on the moment? And if we can, and let go of the past and the emotional glue that holds us there, and let go of the controlling the future, we can really have a wonderful life. And that's what the choice is, and that's what the destiny is, and that's what the journey is all about. And the most important thing is, there is no end point. It's all about the journey. Our journey never ends. We just get better and better and better at traveling. And it's not limited by age or where we live or where we are, because love is within inside of us. There's no excuses not to use it or to have it or to have it available to us. So I'd like to stop now and ask Robin what her feelings are about these big choices. the big choice that we have to make in our life?
Well, it's when I first met John, he was giving a lecture on From Fear to Love. And when I heard that that was the topic, it resonated really deeply in me. I think that it's an inquiry that has been spoken about. I think it's an inquiry that we've all been in. But it's an essential part of our growth and expansion in this schoolroom. And there's a wonderful book called Conversations with God. And I can't remember at the moment. I think his last name was Walsh. I don't know who wrote it. But there's a part of the book that really resonated deeply within me, and it went something like, we all, our dear souls, were sitting in with the divine, and all that we knew was joy and love. And one angel turned to God and said, "But Abba, Father, if this is all that I know, how do I get to choose you?" And God said, "That's a really good question. So let me create this place called Earth and let you dear souls decide." So every day it's a choice of the light or the dark. In every moment that we live, we get to make that choice. And I agree with you, John, that babies who are born, incarnate into this life, love calls, and they came in. And each of us came in with a very strong connection to the divine, and all that we knew was love. And we are taught fear. And so it's wonderful for you parents who are nurturing these dear souls that are coming in right now of reminding them who they are in the deepest sense, and that we are love. Our life is about re-remembering that. So I often say to John, anything that comes to us of a spiritual nature is never new. It's just the re-remembering of it. So I think in love relationships, in your work environment, in relationship with family, friends, oneself, we always have choices. And I know that many times in the day when something happens, we as human beings embrace the no. And John and I were actually talking about that at dinner tonight with a friend. Why is it that we, as human beings, believe in the no much more so than we believe in the yes? And actually, a friend of ours who's a wonderful, her name is Ashla Gabriel. She's a wonderful heart channel mystic, kind of looked at us and said, "Because it's comfortable, because it keeps us safe." But that's the illusion, because the real reality is that when we, from our deepest, highest self, embrace the yes, we are in the flow, we create a life worth living, we draw to us what we need, we vibrate on a higher level and bring in those dear souls who become our originating circle and community. Because this earth is a difficult schoolroom at best, and I don't know, I always say that I was talking while I was standing on the line, choosing who I would be, what I would look like, who my parents were, although I think I made a great choice with that. I was talking, probably to John. I was not paying attention. So if they were handing out manuals, I did not get one. So the manual that we learn from is from our teachers, our own hearts, because as the saying goes, we are spirit having a human experience. We are not humans having a spiritual experience. So it's a wonderful playground to get to choose. It's like chocolate vanilla. Choose. And so that's the inquiry that we will be in on the show. And certainly we are looking forward to hearing from all of you your journey and the questions that you have around this, where we're stopped. And we will have, and you know, fortunately there are many masters that walk amongst us, and including ourselves. But sometimes it's just the reawakening of the master and the God in within all of us, and our intuition, and trusting and embracing that, and following our heart. And it's not the chatter of what our brain says, but it's following our heart and your truth, because that's all that we ever can offer anyone in our life and in our own lives. Is our truth. And from that, wonderful lives of possibility and miracles happen.
I think a very important point to make here is we said we weren't taught how to love, but we must remember it's not anyone's fault, because the people...
You mean taught how to love?
Yes.
I think that we come in knowing that.
No, you're right. How to fear, mm-hmm. I should say. We're taught how to fear, and you're right. We are come in knowing how to love.
And a lot of that come from our parents who are trying, you know, everyone comes from their place of their overview and what they come in with. And parents want to keep us safe, and they say no. And they want what they feel is best for us, and sometimes it's walking the straight and narrow and not letting the child be in the world and express themselves and trust their own higher intuition. And I think that that's sometimes where the no comes in society. What's appropriate, what's not appropriate. You know, children can vibrate on a really high level and be very joyful and very noisy and very messy. And sometimes that's too much for, you know, a parent who's been out working all day and comes home and, you know, wants to relax or hasn't been in that energy, hasn't rediscovered the child in them. And so quiet that so that they understand the energy. They know how to work with that energy. Don't you think, John?
Yeah, that's true. But the point I guess I really want to make is that it's not our teachers' faults. It's not our parents' fault that we didn't learn the right way. Because they weren't taught themselves how to love. They weren't taught that they didn't have to fear. And I think the other two points to make here is this, is that when we're thinking about this decision, when we're thinking about this preliminary area here about how we came in, we have to be in a sacred space. We have to create a little space for us as we listen to these words, where we withdraw from the maddening world around us. And we just for a moment, become intimate with ourselves and feel a bit vulnerable. And that doesn't mean it has to be long. It may be 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And with time, it becomes a greater time. But you create this space somewhere, in your home, in your house, and before you go to bed. And think about what is the one thing every human wants, regardless of material possession, intellectual abilities, status in life, what is the one thing that they want more than anything else? And I think most people would say, to be loved. Not to love, not to share love, not to give love, but to be cuddled and loved. And it's the most important thing, because you have nothing to share or give if you don't have love for yourself. So it all starts right there. And the next most important thing is you don't give it away. You share it. If you share it, you always have it. And I think these are very important little baby steps to think about even before you begin any journey. And I think the next part is, when you look in the mirror, you need to show light on your wholeness. And wholeness does not mean perfection. There is no perfection in nature. Wholeness means that you can see the beautiful aspects of ourself, and you can also see those aspects that maybe aren't so beautiful. I didn't say bad, but aren't so beautiful. Maybe we have some jealousy. Maybe we have some fear. Maybe we have our heart chakra a little closed. Maybe we have a shield over it. Maybe we have, you know, past experiences that weren't so good. That's okay. But to see it, not to deny it, to embrace it, to hold it
close.
Well,
you know, if we were perfect, we would never have come back.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. It's Earth School. We're here at Earth School.
Yeah, so, and I just want to comment on what you were saying, because I think it's really important about, you know, that it's not your parents' fault. I mean, they didn't do this intentionally. Well, everything is in divine order, and the tapestry is perfect. And our parents and teachers and people in our lives, they are the blessed. They create the situations that are the blessed reminders of why we came back in the first place, to help us to remember what we came to remember. And what we came to remember is that we're love, and that we are a part of the divine, and that we carry that within us, and that, and we are perfectly imperfect. And in our imperfection, in what we are, you know, souls that choose to incarnate on the earth plane are very courageous, and spirit really honors our journey. They say it's a more direct, you can work it out in spirit, or it's a more direct route to being one with God. So, it is with great love and great support. We are supported in this journey in every reality. Not only with our loved ones and our friends, but our community of spirit that is also here to assist us. So everyone plays their role to, that is perfection, because we all come for the lessons that this dear place provides for us.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Going one step further, another little baby step. Once you sit there, and there's a lot here to digest, but once you sit there and you get the feeling for where you're at right now, the next thing you need, the most important tool, not to make the decision, because you already made the decision based on this, but to begin to assess the area, that you're in. That area you're in is called the comfort zone, your comfort zone. Now, you're the creator of that zone, and it's different for everyone. But don't forget, you created it. And you created it, you collected a group of people around you that you encircled yourself with, just like a president picks a cabinet. Now, you encircle yourself with people who are like-minded, who think like you, act like you, will support what you want to hear. And it sounds wonderful. You have your little community. But don't forget, don't try to wander away. If you do, they will ostracize you. They will criticize you, and they will judge you to bring you back in the fold. So you have to dress a certain way, act a certain way, live a certain way, or you're out. Now, when you're in this comfort zone, you've also built an impregnable, or as you may perceive, wall around you to protect you, to shield you, from more pain. Now, you're relatively happy. You have a certain amount of emotional pain, but you know exactly how much it is, how much you can tolerate, and you won't get any more because your peer group and your wall will protect you from more. But the most important tool you have now is called intuition. And intuition, by definition, is knowing without being able to reason or calculate. And the feeling you get is an unemotional feeling. You know this is the right thing. It doesn't make sense mathematically. It doesn't have an emotional zing to it. But you have incredible power behind it. Your intuition says, but there has to be more to this world. Like Christopher Columbus said, there has to be more out there for me. And you feel there is, and you know there is. So you start to leave the peer group. You start to act a little different. And then you start to get hit with the judgments and criticism. So you wander back in. And then you go out and you wander back in. And finally you get out to this big wall that you built up. And you said, this is impregnable. Well, the two strongest walls that were ever built in the last 50 years were the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain, and both of them fell without firing a shot. There was no nuclear holocaust. Massive armies didn't meet. Just because everyday people in these poor little countries stood up and said, no, we had enough. And the mega powers backed off. So lean ever so gently, ever so lovingly, ever so carefully against that wall that you feel is impregnable. And don't push too hard. You don't want to hurt yourself or exhaust yourself or hurt the wall. And when you get tired or scared, run back in. And then go out again and run back in and go out again. And to your absolute amazement, in a very short period of time, you'll see that wall dissolves right in front of you. And now you see a world of endless possibilities in front of you. Now you're really in trouble. Where do I go? What do I do? What do I do next? That's where intuition plays the role. It will help guide you to what is best for you. One more thing, and that is, before we get a comment from Robin, and that is this. The more love, the more intuition. The more vulnerability, the more safety. The less fear, the more wholeness. I shouldn't say wholeness. The more fulfillment. So your intuition gets sharper as you love more, as you break away and become you. And now you're ready for your journey. Robin, can you please comment on what you sense or feel?
I started the journey. I'm already off on the journey. I think that we're all, you know, John and I've talked about intuition or your own higher authority, and it's really that simple voice that says, I know. Or you might be, you might have a problem that it's in a relationship or at work, or you're trying to solve something and you're thinking about it before you go to sleep at night and you wake up and the answer is crystal clear. We all receive, and it's the I knows that you have to trust. And sometimes we get goosebumps when something really feels right to us, and that's just spirit giving you confirmation. I think that we need to trust it, and that the universe talks to us all the time and assists us in the peeling away of the onion that we're talking about. And I think meditation, and having that quiet time is wonderful. Sometimes people find it really hard because there's always that noise in our head of that never-ending tape of what am I going to make for dinner, or I forgot to do that, or I have to call someone tomorrow. And it's very hard for us to get quiet. And I think we just have to acknowledge that and say, you know, I'm going to put you on a shelf, and I'll deal with you later. But I think meditation can also come in many forms, that getting quiet with ourselves. And sometimes it's just sitting down and keeping a gratitude list of everything in our life that happened that day that we were grateful for. And not only the acknowledgement of God working in our life and we being the instruments of it, but who we were in that making, how did we impact what we were grateful for? Who did we show up being? That really a lot of times comes from the deepest, highest self that we are. And to start keeping that journal, and every night before you go to bed, to just write it. And it's quiet time with you. It's a time to reflect. And vibrationally, our vibrations get stronger because we're really paying attention to the divinity in us that creates miracles all the time in our lives. A lot of times when we think we've had a really bad day, but if you go back and reflect on that day, there was, you know, there's that commercial of people, it's a wonderful commercial about people paying it forward. A woman is walking with a baby carriage and drops something and someone sees it and picks it up and hands it to her, and someone notices that that's done, and a little later in their day, they were moved by that, and they do something nice, and it's a chain reaction. Well, I think it's, you know, it's like, and then it becomes like a muscle in us, and our ability to tune into that quiet place and to feel our feet really rooted in the ground and stepping into our power, not in an ego sense, but who we really are, that the more we try that on and we trust it, the stronger that muscle becomes until there is no other way of being than what we step into, which is our true self, our true nature, the divinity of who we are. And we are all one. There is no separation. And, you know, we will, and we'll evolve when every grain of sand gets it. And so, and it starts with us. And it is a tremendous privilege to walk this path, to be here at this time particularly, because the planet is in crisis, and it's not an accident that all of us chose to be here at this time. And we get, you know, it's once again getting to choose. We can walk this journey conscious or unconscious, and there's really no judgment in it, because I think for some souls it's not what their journey is about. May not be, but for a lot of us, and I think particularly those who are listening to this show, there's something that resonates, that calls to you to be in the conversation. And it just starts with just, as John says, the baby steps, and as we feel our feet more firmly implanted in the earth, because this is where we chose to be, our footsteps get a little stronger, and we identify what our intuition is, what, you know, a lot of you channel and don't even know it, that our angels and our spiritual community talk in our ears through all eternity. And many of us are in a listening of it. And we may think it's our voice, and we don't differentiate the voices. I think in the end, I don't know how much it really matters. But if something really resonates true and deep in your heart, as being yes, that feels right to me. That's what we really trust. So, John, I think we have a caller.
Oh.
Hello,
is it me?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you clearly.
Hey, Dr. Corti, it's Zach.
Oh, from Miami.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You're blowing my mind. Nice talking to you.
Same here. I do have a question, though, and you know a little bit more about my journey in accepting the vulnerability that comes with love. But recently I find myself trying to create situations that put me back into a fearful place because it's more comfortable for me. What would you say? What do you think needs to change so that I don't try to go back to my comfort zone, which is living and being motivated out of fear?
Well, you did it already.
Mm-hmm.
You did it already because you recognized it and you're talking about it on a national talk show. What you're describing is self-sabotage. And it occurs because you get fearful. You freeze up. But you did what you're supposed to do. You didn't repress it. You didn't deny it, obviously. And you embraced it, and you're facing it courageously, and you're saying, I have this problem. You already solved it. So all you have to do is remain conscious. And that doesn't mean it's going to instantly go away, but it's going to melt away very quickly, quicker than you realize. And you will have triggers that you'll say, oh, here it comes. And when you feel it coming, you look it in the eye. And you don't get angry, you don't deny it. You go, yep, here it comes again. I'll take care of this. And you're embracing it. So one little baby step at a time.
What's funny is someone today told me, it goes, Jack, why are you trying to be afraid? You're doing perfectly. You're doing great. And it's like this random person said, Jack, why are you trying to be afraid? And then I logged on to Facebook tonight and I saw your message about this show. And I was just like, okay. I got to call in and ask.
Jack, this is Robin. Can I just add something to what we're talking about, to your question?
Sure.
So John is absolutely right, because you identified it and you recognize it, and by just simply saying it, it's already transformed. And you are the creator of your life. You create your life in every moment that you live. This is your tapestry. So you can absolutely choose fear. You can absolutely make that choice. But also know that there's another choice that may not feel, it may not feel as comfortable in the beginning, because it's not something that you might have gone to before. But the fact that you are even asking the question, is you've already stepped into more of a lighted dance around it.
Right. Something that I think would be pertinent to touch on is that fear, for a lot of people, I think for the majority of people, whether they know it or not, is a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to say that fear is someone's safety net, because when someone's afraid of what might happen, they've already thought about it and are already dealing with something that hasn't happened. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, because human beings, we believe the no a whole lot more than we believe the yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about that earlier, because that is what's comfortable to us. Because we've been told that, I guess, through our development. And there's a vulnerability for sure, but there's so much more power in making choices that are not fear-based, that actually come from love, and life flows much more effortlessly when you make choices from that place.
All right. Well, definitely thank you guys a whole lot.
You're welcome.
Tuned in for the rest of the show.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for calling in. Thank you.
Thanks,
no problem.
Jack.
You have a good night. Bye.
Good night. No, I think this is really powerful. Very, very powerful what Jack said. And one thing I did want to add that is really interesting is, you know, you get close to a situation, whether it's a phenomenal financial deal or job opportunity mm-hmm. or a romantic encounter, and you go, wow, this is really what I want. And instead of enjoying the moment and going through the ritual for the day with the encounter, you start thinking, but what happened to me in the past?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're bringing in negativity.
Right, because we drag our past around with us. You know, we all do. And when we do that, because when we live, there's only this moment, there is only the now. And when you're creating your life from your past, you can guarantee what your future is going to look like. You'll know what your future is going to look like 5 years from now.
Absolutely.
It's going to look like your past because you're making decisions from that place.
So maybe it would be so much more exciting to say, okay, forget the past. Leave it go with love.
Mm.
Leave the people go with love. Separate the acts, which maybe weren't so nice, condemn them, but separate them from the people and live in the now and don't sabotage yourself and don't underestimate yourself because you're not going to be criticizing yourself. You're beautiful. Except that you're beautiful.
But you know
successful.
What? Because we all relate to this, and we, even though we know that there are choices, I know that there are choices. There are certainly fear-based choices that I make. But there's this little voice inside of me sometimes, the one that sabotages. And I know, and it was very strong when I was younger, that if I actually took that step into faith and trust and really followed my heart and actually had my dreams come true, there was a part of me that said, well, but then is that all there is? And then I guess I'm going to have to die now because I fulfilled my dream. And instead of realizing that that's just the beginning, it was the tip of the iceberg, that what's to come is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. But I think that sometimes we also become afraid because there's been something that we've thought about that we've wanted our whole life, or if I only got this job and if we actually get it, we don't see past the wanting of it or the having of it, and that's a very scary place to be. So sometimes we sabotage it so that we can live in the struggle of getting it, because that we understand, instead of giving up the struggle and saying, well, I'm done with that, and this tapestry that's being created is so complex and so beyond anything that I could possibly imagine that, you know, it's the free falling and knowing that we are safe and that it is only the beginning. But I understand when that comes in. Or not surpassing what our parents did. Because somehow that separates us from our family.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you, John? Does that make sense?
Oh, positively.
Yeah.
It's positively. It's overwhelming
right.
to me.
Or and our friends. You're right.
Right. Our
and
peer group.
So, in our growth and expansion, sometimes it is creating a new originating circle, a new group of people that will actually love and support the journey that we're on and give a helping hand that can help take you to the next level. And it doesn't mean that you have to leave behind and not love the people that, you know, you entered your life with or who are, you know, your friends now. But as we expand, so does the support that we need for our assistance in that expansion. And what happens sometimes with the people that are in our circle now go, wow, yikes. Well, if you can do it, I can do it. Or, or they reach out their hand to you and they come along.
Well, two things you brought up here. One is, that's called rebellion. Rebellion as opposed to revolution. Revolution is doing things by force. It never lasts. Rebellion is doing things by example in a loving mm-hmm. fashion. And you convert mm-hmm. one person at a time that converts one person at a time till you get to mm-hmm. a critical mass. Now, mm-hmm. as far as peer groups, peer groups are, in general, I don't think are necessary. They're restricting. But as you bounce through life, you can become free and not be in one group, but many groups. But, mm-hmm. as a dear friend of mine reminded me of tonight, you must make boundaries. So you're open and loving to people, but you say, wait a second. No. In a nice way. I'm not going to accept this. But you don't turn them down or shoot them down. You just say, this isn't reasonable. And then, it's so funny, at the desk I'm sitting now is my favorite saying. And this sort of describes my goal in life. And it's by an author, Sousa. Dance as though no one is watching you. Mm. Love as though you've never been hurt before. Sing as though no one can hear you. And live as though heaven is on earth. So, follow your own drummer and share with everyone and live by example, cause a rebellion, and make borders, boundaries.
Amen, brother. I hear you. Yeah, absolutely, yes. And you know something? Sometimes people's inquiry into metaphysics is like their dirty little secret. It's something that they may read or they may tune in and they think, well, my friends will just think I'm a freak. They're not going to understand this, or it's a little woo-woo, or it's scary. But actually, when you start to share it, you'd be amazed how many people are really in a listening of it and have their own stories to share. And it's a wonderful time because we're all meeting each other. And I think that sharing and asking and listening, there are so many, there are books, there are shows, there is your own inner silence and your own guidance, that it's nothing that isn't our birthright. This is, you know, it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, it's our birthright as the divinity that we are to discover our truths, to stand in our truth, to not hide our light, as a lot of us do, and step into our power, and not in an ego way, but in the divinity of who we are, and a light in the dark can be seen for miles around. And when we walk in our truth, there are so many of us that are so hungry to linger in that light, to share our truth. that the vibration that's created and the community that's created can become very, very large, and our life opens up into the magical garden that it truly is.
We can do anything we dream. And the most important thing is, I think it's important to bring this up. Intention, like intuition, is another major tool.
Yes. You're right, John. That's a really good point.
And the when I tell people about intention, one of the first things they do is they look embarrassed. And I instruct them on the little simple details that are so hard to follow but so simple. First, you tell no one. You don't have to tell anyone. You don't have to share it with anyone. It doesn't make it stronger to do that. It probably makes it weaker. So you make an intention. There's no embarrassment. There's no shame, unless you're ashamed of yourself. Well, obviously that's an issue. So you form an intention, which is your greatest desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't wish for it. You can't hope for it. You can't pray for it. And you can't feel that you deserve it. And it has to be in the present to work. So the intention is, I am presently falling in true love. I am presently actively encountering true love with my significant other. So that's in the present. It's active. It's positive. It's not hoping.
Well, it's an affirmation.
It's an affirmation.
Yes. We live, you know, the last word of the last sentence that we speak is what we live into. So if you make that affirmation, you are actually creating the possibility of that.
You're creating the reality of it, your new reality, and you embrace it. Now you have to empower it. And how you empower it is you believe it. And what you say to yourself is, I believe this. Now your ruminating mind will say, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, sure, sure. And what you say is, no, you're wrong. See, babe? Hello?
Yes. Somebody said something.
There's a question, I think, coming in.
Oh, is there a question? Caller?
My name's Noella. I'm from Canada. And I just sort of caught your show right now, so I'm hoping this question is not far off from what you're talking about.
Not at all. All questions
okay.
are welcome.
A lot of interest has been going around about wanderers, which are ET soul volunteers that have come at this time mm-hmm. to raise the frequency of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched Time of Global Shift, a 14-part on YouTube with David Wilcock and Scott Mandelker. And they have a questionnaire where you basically out of 10, you know, if you fit 5 out of 10, you are a wanderer. And I fit 9. So I was just curious about it. If you've heard about that, and I'll take your answer off air. And if you haven't, that's okay, too.
Well, you mentioned ETs.
Yeah,
and
the wanderers are basically ET souls that have volunteered to come here through this ascension time.
But you know what? In the metaphysical community, there's a conversation about that, and we actually are going to have a guest on our show. Her name is Nancy Burson. And the ETs energetically, they're not the highest vibration, but there are extra celestials that are here among us. And we all have our own teams of extra celestials. And they have been here from the very beginning, and they are the divine. And they're not in human form. There are walk-ins that have come in. And walk-ins are that's a soul that chooses to leave their body
and
with the consent of the other soul, a walk-in comes in and usually has a high calling regarding the healing and salvation of the planet.
I understand that. What they were saying, David Wilcock and Scott were saying, that there's very few walk-in ET souls, and there's probably about a million that are actually in human form that were evolved and just basically are here to bring love and light with their presence. It's not like you have to do anything grandiose. It's just because of the time we're going into this shift and the ascension. So that's interesting. Okay, so I'll just let you go. And it's a buzz around lately, so I just thought I'd
find
out what you got. But I'll definitely look into Nancy Bernson.
Gerson, B-U-R-S-O-N. You can actually go on her website. It's nancyberson.com. And it's she's a metaphysical channel. She's a world-known photographer. She taught at Harvard.
I know who she is. The orbs.
Yeah.
She the one that was in the crop fields with the orbs?
Yeah.
Okay, I know her. Yeah, I'm familiar with her.
So, yeah, so she works, she's an ambassador. She's an ambassador for the extra celestials. But there are a lot of souls that have incarnated at this time, master souls. Yes, because we're at a critical time.
This is
the
first time it's ever happened. What's going to happen? It's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
It's after 25,000, we're on the third cycle of it's scientific that the Earth speeds up and the solar system is all heating up, all as one big cosmos shift. You know, it's not
There's a lot of conversation around that, and there's a lot of differing opinions. One is that the Earth is not dying, and the Earth has its reincarnations as we do. And it's merely, as one teacher said to me, the Earth is merely shaking out its coat.
That's right.
And nothing is in the computer yet. And then there are people that say, 2012, the Earth doesn't have a calendar, it's not going to know it's 2012, and things will go on as they are. And then there are certainly those who are of the feeling that there are choices to be made. And what direction we go in is going to be determined by how many of us embrace the work of, let's say, the extra celestials and welcome them about our healing as a planet. So that's a whole show. That's a whole 10 show.
It sure is. All I know is all roads lead back to all that is, no matter if you're negative, positive. It's eventually just a growth process that we have to make service to itself or service to others.
Yeah.
So, and it's a choice. It's free will. So.
Yes.
We all have our lessons. Well, it was nice talking to you, and thanks for the info.
Thank you for calling, Noel.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. There's someone else out there with a question?
I don't know, but I think our hour is almost up, no? We got a wrap.
I just want to say good night and thank you. You can go to our website, whereisbuddhababy, BUDDHA.com. You can email me and get in touch with Robin through jquerci, QUERCI, 49, @AOL.com. And my mobile number, you can call anytime at 570-313-3241. Look forward to maybe hearing from you more when our TV show launches in March in Manhattan, and there will be streaming to the Internet. And it's From Fear to Love with Dr. John Quercy and Robin Paris. Good night. Love you. Namaste.
Namaste.